There's a global war going on between a parasite and the human race, and the parasite is winning. The parasite is called Plasmodium, and it causes malaria. That disease kills 1 to 2 million people each year, most of them children. Malaria cases are increasing, in part because the parasite has learned how to fight off every new drug. Now, some scientists favor a more radical strategy. NPR's Christopher Joyce has this story on efforts to stop the disease at its source by redesigning the mosquito that carries malaria.
There's a guitar in the corner of Anthony James' office. When he gets tired of studying diagrams of mosquito gene sequences, he picks it up and plays. But even when he's composing, James can't quite leave mosquitoes behind.
The mosquito dance.
James is better known as a molecular biologist than a musician. He's a professor at the University of California at Irvine who splices new genes into mosquitoes. His car's license plate bears the Latin name of his favorite mosquito, Aedes. He says he's never had a boring day in his life.
The more I look at these things, the more astounded I am. And then the parasites have me totally amazed. There are no parasites out there in nature. They live either in the human or in the mosquito. And when you think about that, you think, boy, what a tenuous way to live. I mean, how do you pull it off?
Simply put, this way. The parasite lives inside the mosquito. Then the mosquito bites a human. The parasite enters the human bloodstream and reproduces. It causes fever, chronic illness, and often death from malaria. The infected person is just a temporary home, though. When he or she gets bitten by a mosquito, the parasites are on the road again, in a sort of endless commute between human and insect. James wants to stop the cycle by altering the very genes of mosquitoes. There are several approaches. All would, in one way or another, make mosquito body chemistry toxic to the malaria parasite. Then those genetically engineered insects would be released to breed with and eventually replace the natural population.
All right, so here we're rearing larvae.
The mosquito larvae float in Tupperware containers in a locked room behind plastic curtains. It's the nursery. When they grow up, they are moved next door.
Every mosquito bite that people get in this building, they blame on me. So here we are in the dank mosquito room. The walls look a little rusty looking because in this high humidity it's hard to not have fungi growing.
Racks along the wall hold small ice cream cartons. The tops have been replaced with netting to keep the adult mosquitoes inside. Only the females suck blood. With none available, they make do with raisins.
They get pretty agitated when you pick them up.
Well, they do. Well, actually, they are detecting our breath, and the females are going, oh, something other than raisins.
These mosquitoes are, well, guinea pigs. James has put jellyfish genes in some of them to test the gene transfer technique. In another experiment, he deliberately infected mice with the parasite that causes avian malaria, the kind that infects birds.
Mice don't get the avian malaria. They can fight it off with their immune system. We identified a component of that, engineered it, and put it into the mosquito.
The result is a mosquito that uses a mouse gene to fight off the parasite. There are many other genetic strategies being tested. For example, scientists are also trying to trap the parasite inside the mosquito. The parasite moves through the mosquito's gut and into its salivary glands in a way you might liken to going through a set of doors. Molecules on the parasite's surface act like keys. They fit certain receptors on mosquito tissue that allow free passage. Scientists think they can block those receptors. Yet another approach would insert a gene that manufactures a toxin that would kill the parasite. All this involves putting genes from other animals into mosquitoes and putting them out to reproduce with and replace their wild brethren. That idea gives some people pause. Marjorie Hoy is an entomologist who studies insects at the University of Florida. She worries about where those altered insects will go.
We have incredibly leaky borders, and insects are moving all around the world in airliners and the U.S. mail and everywhere.
Given that they don't understand politics, these insects could end up someplace where people don't welcome genetically modified organisms. Biologists also worry that the famously adaptive malaria parasites may simply learn how to survive inside those engineered mosquitoes. And then there are the genes themselves. Will they jump around from animal to animal with unpredictable results? Biologist George Demopoulos works on antimalarial genetics at Johns Hopkins University's School of Public Health. He says tests in laboratories and in mosquito cages would have to resolve such concerns, but he says insects change on their own, in the wild, harmlessly.
Genetic modification happens all the time in nature through mutations, and this has never resulted really in a monster mosquito.
In fact, transgenic mosquitoes, those that have been genetically altered, are notoriously feeble. Demopoulos says getting them to thrive is the biggest challenge.
If we would introduce a transgenic mosquito in nature today, it would not spread. It would most likely die and be outcompeted.
But there are obstacles that have nothing to do with genetics. How, for example, would people feel about genetically modified insects flying around and possibly biting them? David Magnus, who directs the Bioethics Center at Stanford University, says trying to get thousands of people to sign consent forms won't work, but community consent might.
You would certainly want to make sure that the public is as informed as possible, that there's a process in which the community discusses this and essentially signs off on it. If you have a strong sense of community opposition, that would, I think, hopefully give people pause before proceeding.
For Anthony James at the University of California, these are good, tough questions. He wants them answered in a public debate because he wants to move ahead.
If we in the United States had a disease where every minute three people died, we'd be doing something about it.
People are doing something about it. There are better drugs and vaccines in the works. But for James, the old solutions aren't good enough.
We can better deploy the techniques we have, and we can come up with new things. So I belong to the group of people that wants to come up with new things.
For now, genetically engineering insects remains the most experimental approach to fighting insect-borne diseases like malaria. The U.S. government forbids field testing of these altered animals, but to succeed, engineered bugs must eventually prove their merit out in the open. Christopher Joyce, NPR News.